This week's episode of the Thickcast is brought to you by XFMuscle.com, one of the best tasting protein powder out there, and by Quest Protein Bars. They are the best bars out there with 20 grams of protein, only 4 grams of non-fiber carbs, no sugar or sugar alcohols used, no junk food of any kind, and they're delicious. You can get 2 free bars, and they'll even pay shipping and handling if you go to questproteinbar.com/sample. This week's episode features multiple tracks from the Hackers soundtrack. Check it out at Amazon.com. It is fantastic. Magic people, voodoo people. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Thickcast. This is episode number 203. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, what is up?
What up, Kevin?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I am hyper.
Feels good that John isn't here, does it? Doesn't it?
Yeah, he's
weight off my shoulders.
He's in Switzerland. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. His Facebook is getting ridiculous.
Hanging out with someone with some blonde girl with ponytails and stuff. Holding 2 cups of hot chocolate.
He might as well be like Richard Branson at this point.
Yeah.
It's just...
My brother saw him the last week in Las Vegas for the Miss America pageant.
It's random.
My brother does IT work for like Miss America or something like that.
Okay, so... yeah, that's interesting.
He's old, man.
Did he enjoy the show?
I don't know. I don't really talk to my brother that much.
This is going in a whole different direction. Okay.
Yeah. Family matters.
I'm good.
Good.
John's obviously very good and not here.
Wait, we got some stuff to talk about before we get into the roundtable stuff in the mailbag. But one cool thing is I'm going to confirm and I'm going to announce it. I'm going to do a pre-announcement announcement.
Did we get John Hall?
Because I can't wait, but I've been told not to talk about this quite yet. So we're going to be doing a live show in a couple months, and it has been confirmed. We will let you know where and when it's going to be and how you can be a part of it, like a live in-person in front of a audience of people. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so T-shirts will probably be given away.
Wait, are we going to have things thrown at us?
Thrown at us? If that happens, that's just a
see
plus.
Yeah.
We're going to be with a fit group of people.
I'm going to have my Sharpie ready. I'm going to tell you that.
What are you going to be signing, Lee?
That's exactly the question, Kevin. I'm just saying I'm going to have my Sharpie ready.
I'm going to have a dry erase just in case I change my mind. So the other cool thing is that we're going to be... people have been. I asked for what people wanted from the Thickcast for the coming year, and one of the things was bring back What Up Kev or bring back more of that kind of stuff. And the reason why I stopped doing it, and I talked to Lee about it in the off topic, is I didn't like talking to no one. It was awkward, and looking at my computer was kind of weird, and I wanted a reason to get Roger Lawson into doing some podcasting, and I found my reason. If you don't know Roger, you can check him out on Twitter. It's just twitter.com/RogLaw, ROGLAW, or you can go to his website, RogLawFitness.com. He doesn't even know I'm doing this yet, by the way. I haven't even completely confirmed this, but... Roger, so guess what?
You're just completely assuming before you've even popped the question.
I just realized we're supposed to talk about this on Saturday, but Roger, guess what? We need a name for this podcast.
I'm gonna text him and I'm gonna blow your cover right now.
Let's get him some followers, man.
I'm gonna tell him what you're doing.
Oh, whatever.
And that you're plotting against him.
If he doesn't want to do it, guess what? Then we'll bring on, someone else. Maybe
there is no one.
This is the guy I played Street Fighter with,
So you win?
We had...
the majority of the time?
I'd say we were
saying?
About 50-50. It depends on what version. No.
There's always a 51 Kevin Larrabee.
Then it would be me. I mean, because there's so many different versions of Street Fighter. I mean, we play lots of Marvel versus Street Fighter, Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. It depends what we have fired up in the arcade machine, you know?
Okay.
But, that's going to be coming up. So we're going to record that on Saturdays now and probably put it out on Wednesdays, roughly 30 to 45 minutes long. It is going to be fitness and nutrition oriented. We will be accepting questions for it through Facebook and Twitter, or you can send them to questions@thefitcast.com. And you know what? It's going to be like lifestyle fitness and nutrition. It's going to be more off topic than the FitCast is, which is pretty off topic. But so we're going to have some cool stuff. And he's a very bright guy. He's been he interned at Crest Performance like myself. And he's been a strength coach these last couple of years. I pretty much see him at every seminar. He is a very bright guy and is one of the guys that I bounce a lot of my ideas off of. So it'll be good. And we're hoping to broadcast all these live on Ustream with video as well. So you'll get to hang out with us. And we might do some like post-show Street Fighter that you can hang out with us and watch us play Street Fighter or something. I don't know. We're going to have some fun with it. So that will be coming up. You can keep an eye out for that on thefitcast.com. And the last thing with the FitCast is a couple new blog posts. One about wrestling and why I love John Cena. And the other one comparing Katy Perry to Jim Wendler's 531, which is worth reading. Give me hits on my website. And finally, before I forget, we have a new sponsor, Lee.
Is it Reebok?
Why would it be Reebok?
Who's your sponsor?
Quest Bars.
I have no idea. Why don't you enlighten me about this?
I'm going to enlighten you.
It sounds so
plugged.
For
the people of Quest, this is going to be your plug for the show. you already heard it, but you can check them out at questproteinbar.com. It is... I'm very wary about like promoting stuff, and I think I talked about it in the past. We get lots of emails, people saying like, "Oh, will you talk about our product or will you promote our product?" Like I've literally turned down like supplement companies, and there was two equipment people that I'm not going to bring up, but I've literally turned them down to have them as sponsors because I'm like, not really for us, or it's not, it's not something that I would use myself, but, the Quest bar, basically the idea behind it, it is literally 7 ingredients on the bars. I don't have one in front of me, but luckily I have the website pulled up. So, like their peanut butter bar is like the bee's knees. It is really good. It consists of just whey protein, milk protein, chicory root, chicory root fiber, which consists of most of the bar, peanut butter, dry roasted almonds, water, raw almonds, peanuts, natural flavors, sea salt, Lohan goo, which I have no idea what that is, but it sounds Chinese. It's probably good for you. And some Splenda. The breakdown is the bars are 220 calories with 20 grams of protein, 20 grams of carbohydrates, 15 of them being dietary fiber, from the chicory root and obviously the almonds as well. But they taste pretty good. They're pretty filling, and there's no added sugar to them. Obviously there's a little artificial sweeteners in there, but I really liked them. And you know what? It's probably the best bar that I found out there. I don't really eat a lot of bars, but it's nice to have them just in case you're, leave them in the car. In case you're in a pinch. But it's good stuff. And they will be with us for the near future. And I want to want you guys to at least try their stuff out. Hopefully we'll be able to get some free stuff that we can give away in the next coming weeks. But you can literally buy just one bar online if you want to try them out, and they'll ship it out to you. So check it out. Some good stuff. And
just to let people know that the Lohan Koo, or however you pronounce that, is, it's a fruit sweetener.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's what it is. Just to let you know.
What about, I'm somewhat uneducated about this, but the chicory root fiber is just...
It's just a fiber.
Just a fiber.
Yeah, it's just a fiber.
It's just a little bulk.
It's basically, I'm assuming it's to give the bar lots of consistency and texture.
It is thick as hell.
While not providing a lot of carbohydrates.
It's like a Charleston chew.
Okay.
Then not really.
The chicory root.
Yeah, but I just... Man, Charleston chews, those are fun. Anyways, Lee, what's up? What do you been doing? You just had some cool stuff come out at leadfield.com. Tell me about it. Does it have anything to do with Charleston chews?
It does not, Kevin. But
damn it!
It has to do with... Well, it almost had to do with the Fifth Avenue bar.
What?
I did a body fat percentage report. Very detailed. Very, 23 pages, pictures, charts, words, I think maybe 4,000 or so. And, so it's a free report. You can find it on leadpeel.com. It will pop up on a thing. It will be on the side, and it's also on a post on the main page. It's very cool, and I think people will like it a lot. So far, there's been a couple thousand downloads of it, and people have been... I'm just saying, if you got it, want it. But people have been enjoying it, and they've really. If you saw my body fat percentage picture post back in the day, about a year ago, if you liked that, then you will love this report. It's basically that, but an extended version. And it goes into a little bit more detail. So that is what I did there. Lots of new members at leadpeel.com. That's going well. The resolution solution challenge is still going good so far from the tally that I hit, because there's not official check-ins, just people that send me emails and what I read in logs. There's been over 200 pounds lost, and it's not even the end of January.
Nice.
So that's pretty fantastic. And things are just rolling along good. I got a review coming up for the new rules of lifting for abs book. And little later than some of the others, but...
Well, we'll be out by the time that people even hear this, so.
Yeah, true that. So that's coming up, and that's about it. As always, things are going to be coming up week to week, but that's what's happening right now. Back to you, Kevin.
What we're going to
do. Do it live.
Clearly. Marty has joined us on the podcast. He decided to come into the room, and he is still passed out from doggy daycare, but... He at least wanted to know what was going on.
Good. So. I heard a little jingle of his collar chain thing.
That's what it was, believe it or not. All right, so that is the FitCast news. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music right now. And you know what? I haven't been getting any feedback from the awesome music that I've been putting into the podcast, like that Super Mario Brothers song. I didn't get one email, guys.
What are you playing today?
I worked hard. You know what? I'm going to put in from the Hacker soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
a select track from the Hacker soundtrack.
You've got Connected. You've got On and On. There's some good stuff.
Oh, that's what I was doing. I was going to do... I couldn't remember. It was like Halcyon, On and On.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go. Let's listen to it. Thank you. Again, that's by Orbital, called Halcyon On and On. Hopefully you can check that out on iTunes. It's a great song. Now back to the show.
Hi, guys. This is Kevin. Right here, you would be looking for that roundtable. We deleted it, and I can't really talk about why. So I'm sorry if you did not get to listen to it, but we have some great stuff in the rest of the show, including the mailbag, so stick around.
Walt, do you want to join us for the mailbag?
I would love to join you for the mailbag.
Oh, okay. Well, I was hoping you were going to show up, but we're going to take a quick break.
Awesome.
We're going to listen to some more music from Hackers. We're going to listen to Voodoo People. That's another good song.
Awesome.
Pick it up on Amazon.com, Hackers soundtrack. It's awesome. We're in the mailbag, and we're back with the full cast of Jonathan Fastly. John, you don't even know. We have a new podcast coming out next week, a new new structure. Yeah, we do.
Oh.
You can listen to the podcast on iTunes, or you can go to theficast.com. We're also on the Zune Marketplace, if you have one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And I was contacted by the, I guess BlackBerry has a podcast page now, too. Someone from BlackBerry emailed me and was like, hey, can we help you get it on there? Like, sure. Send me a BlackBerry.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways, the mailbag for this week, we're going to start off with a question from... Damn, I forgot to put the name. But he knows who it is because I told him that we're going to talk about this week. He says, hello, FitCast crew. I recently had a few prospective clients request distance/online coaching with me since they don't live in my city. I have done this once before with zero success as far as results and clients' attendance to the gym. She was a client's sister with zero experience in the gym. So my question to you guys is, number one, how do you go about the screening process? Number two, what is the ideal online coaching client? Experience, familiarity in the gym, and number three, payment. I use the influx of requests as an excuse to immediately go buy Body by Boyle online, so look forward to getting to play with that. Is there any system already in place within that program to walk me through the above questions? Thanks, guys. Continue to be awesome. I'm going to run through these. I say we all kind of do this, or John doesn't do it. John, I don't know if you do it anymore, John, but we'll all give our way we do things. Screening process. I tend to, it always depends on the client, but... I tend to have them take videos of, squatting primarily and deadlifting. If I'm going to have them do deadlifting, if they're not going to be going too heavy, I generally just ask for them to go through a couple movements and kind of go through a score. Usually I try to have them video it. If they can't video it, I just have them take pictures. Scap wall slides is one of them. Overhead squats is another one of them. Inline lunge is another one of them. I probably should have looked at the list. And obviously, injury history will be part of the screening process. Anyone can be a coach, online coaching client. I've dealt with people that have never lifted before in their lives, and I've dealt with people that have been lifting for years. The ideal client would be someone who has been lifting for a long time, is very familiar with the gym because they're a lot easier to work with. Obviously, the people that haven't lifted as much, you got to be a lot more careful with what you prescribe them, and you start them with, you know, regressions for certain exercises to make sure they can perform them correctly. And obviously, to a little product promotion here, but what we've done with Body by Boyle online is we've included videos of every exercise, you know, front and side views of everything with detailed explanations on how you should perform them. So that's how we get around that. And for payment, this is the tricky situation. I don't know how in-depth we want to go into this, but most people are going to recommend that you create a corporation or an LLC to protect yourself. That way, if, heaven forbid, you know, someone, no matter what you do with any kind of waivers, anything like that, if someone wants to sue you, they're going to figure out a way to sue you. So make sure they can only sue the company and not you. So you usually are going to set up a bank account for that, and you can connect it to PayPal or accept personal checks or money orders. That's usually going to be the best way to do that. Lee Peel.
Very good, Kevin. I do a lot of the same things for the screening process. If you can get video, definitely get video. Something that a lot of trainers have asked me recently is how to actually go about getting video, because sometimes clients, they don't want to, even for a moment, for a minute, put themselves up on YouTube, or they don't know how to host it or whatnot. So it's something that I recommend clients and trainers doing if they kind of want to swap videos, but they don't want it being public, but they don't have servers they can host it on, et cetera, is you can go to blip.tv.com, or actually it's blip.tv.com, and you can get an account there. A client, you can even set up the account for your clients, or client set up accounts, and they can upload the videos and you can make them password protected. I don't know if you can do this on YouTube. You might be able to, but I know that you can do it on BlipTV.com, and they can upload their videos. The only people that can see them are those that have the password. It's free. It doesn't kill your website bandwidth and stuff like that. And it's a way that you can see video of your clients doing various movements and assessments and screenings that you can best do from a distance with explanations. And so you can look at them through that way. If that's not a possibility for a client, I do submit take pictures that they submit from as many angles and movement positions as I can see. I try and walk them through a process so that I can understand where they're coming from. And I think to a point, when you're at a distance, you kind of have to work as much as you can off of, if I do this, what do you feel? If you do that, what happens? Tell me. There's a lot of phone conversations that happen and take place along with those things. Anything from, you can have a client do a simple movement, especially say if you're working with a distance obese client. There's not a lot that you can, at that, I wouldn't have in person an obese client do certain movements or strength assessments before doing others. Certainly not going to have them do them from a distance, but you can have an obese client, you know, do just a simple step-up movement, have them tell you kind of what they're doing, ask them, are they leaning forward? Are they compensating in any way? Just simple little things. You do have to start to get creative, and you do have to really think about the process of what your client's movement is, what they're doing, cues. I actually find that it helps you verbalize things a lot better, because that's all you really have is verbal communication. So it can be really great and improve your in-person clientele and training experiences. But that's kind of a really getting as involved as you can in the beginning. And from a monetary standpoint, I always do higher assessment costs, and then you know, updating with training program and ongoing costs are a little bit cheaper. Keep that in mind, because it should be very, very involved in the beginning. Once you get that stuff knocked out, it makes things a lot easier in the long term, and then you can just do some basic checkups and see how things are going along the way. As far as the ideal, I agree with Kevin. It can very much range. Obviously, you would like to work with someone that has some gym and training experience. And if they don't have any, sometimes what I've done is I've worked locally with a local personal trainer and had them go through actual training and do the movement trainings while also getting the assignment. So they would hire a trainer or someone to help them go through their cues and their movements. And it's a good way to have networking and know people in various areas. I've worked with trainers all across the world. And they know who I am, I know who they are, and we've kind of cross-talked about clients and whatnot. Getting as involved as you can is good. And payment, I agree with Kevin about the LLC. I think you should get a lawyer. You should have documents drawn up. You should protect yourself in every aspect, and you can go through PayPal or other like various checkout carts and things like that. Yeah. That's how I do it, and just basically communication is very key. just very much try and communicate with people. And the Body Bible online is very good. It helps with exercise demonstrations and stuff like that. I think it's a great program and application, and it can really help with your client and communication and stuff like that. So I think programs like that are very good to help with distance training, especially if you're new to it. So
one quick thing I just want to drop in there about the YouTube stuff. You can actually upload YouTube videos now, and you can create a link that is only for that person, so it will never be public. Gotcha. You can only just send that link. So that's just something that I just noticed like last week.
Good point.
So definitely, you know, if you're more familiar with the YouTubes and you don't want to put it alongside your uncle getting hit in the balls, you can definitely.
Oh. But,
oh, God. This is a fun show. John, Fass.
Yes, sir. I have nothing to add. You guys did everything that I do. So
that's what I like to hear. John not dragging the podcast.
Talking, right. Sure.
Love it. All right. Yep. This is an interesting question, and I'm just going to bring this up because we had a couple requests about this or emails about this, and I'm going to do my best with it to condense it. So Body Rock TV, the host, Susanna, I don't know exactly, I forget her last name, but basically, if you haven't checked it out, she does a ton of videos on YouTube. She puts like workouts up every single day on YouTube. And the person writing it, and again, I forgot to put the name and I'm stupid. But thanks, John. But anyways, the reader says, you know, I know it tastes very, but it is a fairly safe bet that many women would kill for a look like Susanna's. I think many women may be following her program in order to achieve that look, but how realistic is it? If a woman, say 20 to 40 years old, starting at 18 to 20% body fat, wanted to achieve a look like hers, would the Body Rock TV style workouts be optimal? If not, what would you recommend to be added, subtracted, or otherwise adjusted? How much of the look would be related to the training, and how much would the diet come into play? And again, for a little bit more reference, if you don't want to go check it out, one thing I would say, the videos probably aren't safe for work. So if you're at work, I wouldn't bring those videos up. She tends to lift in like, you know, sports bra and shorts. So it might not be something you want your boss to see you looking at. And all the workouts are home-based, and they tend to be body weight or very little equipment. And you know, I think since I believe most of this is going to come on the side of diet, I would love to throw this off to Lee.
Common question that we get all the time is, can I achieve X look? What does it take to achieve X look? And with the Susanna, let's talk about her look first. And I think that can help us dive into the next area that I need to go into. If you look at her, she's genetically gifted. Obviously, she has very symmetrical body, very small frame, and nice face. And I think that people don't really take those kind of things in consideration as much as they should. She has implants. Those aren't real. And most women could not achieve that level of body fat and have any boobs left whatsoever unless that they were genetically gifted with, you know, higher fat tissue in that area at lower body fats. She is extremely small in size. And I mean extremely small. I don't know her height. I don't know her weight, but I would gather that she is probably somewhere in the 5'5", 5'6" range and maybe 110, 115 pounds. She has very low body fat. She has pretty minimal muscle. It's not extreme on any sort of level. It's obvious that she maintains and takes care of herself in an exercising sense, but doesn't do any sort of really heavy external loads. And she's obviously done some direct eccentric ab work along her days. And she seems to enjoy doing more, you know, body weight challenging stuff. The exercises as a whole, I haven't watched a large amount of it. What I've seen has been mostly pretty smart training. I haven't really seen anything that makes me shudder, but again, I haven't watched a lot of it. Mostly it's pull-ups, lunges, squat, sandbag use, kettlebell use, random intervals, getting creative with some household products. She uses chairs for step up, spouse slidey type stuff. But I haven't seen anything in her training that makes me go, oh my God, like I would not look at that. So from a training standpoint, in the aspect of stupidity, I don't see anything there that makes me cringe. The problem is she's somewhat, if you look at her past, which is colorful, she's seemed to carry this body and this look for somewhat of a long time. And that's the point. That's kind of where that you need to start, is where you're starting from. Depending upon how heavy you got in your life, how much training you've done in your life, or how much training you haven't done, your age, it changes everything. What your job is, what your occupation is, it's going to create different balances, imbalances. You're going to respond differently to training in a different manner than someone else is going to respond to training. And that's why we have trainers. And that's why there's specific programs and there's generic programs. What Body Rock TV is generic programming. It's exercises and cardio that you can do through your day to get your heart rate up and to get some exercise in. In my personal opinion, I don't think that a program like that is going to do a lot to offset if you have any sort of specific imbalances or needing to build any. I don't see a lot of it building a lot of glute strength. I don't see a lot of it focusing on really changing in some ways any sort of imbalances or mobility issues that I pretty much see my average client have. And most clients that come to me, and this is me, but I don't see a lot of clients that can start off doing a lot of the things that she does, even just lunges. Most clients don't know how to do a lunge right off the bat. Usually they're dealing with ankle mobility issues, or they don't fire into glutes at all. Their hamstrings are too tight. They lean forward. Their back hurts. They're extremely overweight. And I think that it's unrealistic to think that you can watch that. You can start following along with her exercises and do that and then achieve that kind of body. That's basically the take-home point. I think that it's a lot more complicated than that if you're talking about tailoring looks or trying to get on any sort of specifics. However, if you're wanting to just have something to do and you're wanting to just start moving or get to moving, that's never a bad thing. You're going to have to eat less and lose weight if you need to drop body fat whatsoever. I mean, the diet is always there. You can train and train and train, but if your diet isn't in place, it's not going to help you achieve any sort of goals. Tailoring towards specific body goals are, I think, an art and a science. And I think that you have to take in all the variables into consideration to really achieve the kind of look that you want. But I guess my take-home point is you can't look at someone from a distance and go, oh, that, I want that. How do I get that? And expect to do what they do and expect for that to just happen on your body. It's not going to happen. And even she has particular things that aren't natural and aren't quote unquote God given, then that are man-made, that changes her looks significantly.
I think they're made by a machine.
I'm just saying it really does. The style that she has, the hair that she wears, the makeup that she dons, her breasts, all of it, it's a look. It's not just the training. It's not even just the body. Her posture, her attitude, her voice, it all creates a certain kind of appearance and a certain kind of look that she's portraying that you're perceiving. And I think that you have to look at everything as the detail that it is and really think logically about who you are and what that's going to mean to you. So, I mean, I could talk and talk and talk about that topic, but I think the take-home point is, no, doing her training program is not going to give you her body, just as doing an NFL player training program is not going to make you an NFL star. It's the same thing all the way around.
One of the coolest things Lee has ever, you know, that we've talked about in the past, is you obviously, if you're going to do this training, if you watch any of the videos, like that's some hardcore training. Like she's going pretty hard. If you're on a pretty low calorie diet, you're going to feel like garbage. It's going to be hard to perform. Keep all that stuff in mind. All right. What do you guys think? We're pushing about an hour and 20 right now.
No one hear from John. Is John there?
John's here. I'm uploading pictures.
John's not here.
John doesn't care. So
I don't care.
John's like, I've been skiing.
John, do you mind if I drop you and we finish without you?
Wow, that's hardcore. What are you going to finish with?
It's none of your business. You're not paying attention.
I'm totally paying attention. Dude, check out my pictures on Facebook.
All right, so Lee and I are going to finish the podcast by ourselves. All right, Lee, let's...
Did you cut them all?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin. Is this going to be like Punch Out all over again?
Never forget.
Whatever. I'm not getting in the middle of the two of you. I'm not.
Hey, do you mind reading that question from Donnie?
Switzerland is what I am.
Do you mind reading that question from Donnie?
Fine, I'll read the question from Donnie to you.
The better Wahlberg.
Yes, the better Wahlberg. Wait, no. No, I do not agree with that. Dude, I almost agreed with that. I don't agree with that.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Hey, Kevin. I have just recently tweaked a hip flexor muscle again. Not sure which one. It's directly in the middle of my thigh from hockey. And as far as I know, that would usually mean I have a weakness either above or below. I'm wondering if you could give me some idea of what it could be. I am 31 and am in phase 3 of the maximum strength program by Eric Cressy. So I'm doing foam rolling and mobility work at least 4 times a week. I play hockey 2 to 3 times a week and racquetball once or twice a week. Thank you for your help, Donnie.
All right, Donnie. Good question. This is something that I've seen actually quite a bit with the hockey players that we work with at Mike Bull Strength and Conditioning. And a couple things I want you to consider with the hip flexors that are bothering you. It's hard to really nail it down without seeing you in person or having you like kind of point to a spot and take a look at you. But it's most likely going to be psoas or TFL. We tend to see lots of hip mobility issues in hockey players because you're bent over. You play bent over the whole time. And that on top of the society that we live in where we're kind of sitting a lot, those hip flexors tend to tight up quite a bit. And another thing with hockey players is they tend to be incredibly externally rotated. So when we look at those, you know, we look at those two factors, hip rotators tend to be an issue. So glute med is going to be the prime culprit most of the time in terms of weakness. The easiest thing to do to strengthen glute med is to do things like X-band walks or monster walks that I've actually seen you know, people do quite a bit, and I've used them with clients to lots of success to strengthen glute med and to get it to fire. And that is a real, you know, it's not a gigantic muscle, but it is, you know, it is a real big factor in terms of preventing any of those hip issues. And you know what, to be honest, another thing with that adductor tightness, that is something you have to address. You have to make sure you're stretching your adductors. Do knee-to-knee stretches laying down, and you can find videos for all this stuff online, but I'll see if I can post some links in the show notes. But doing those couple things, working on strengthening and activating glute med, stretching the adductors, doing knee-to-knee stretches. And finally, the other thing that stood out quite a bit was the total volume of stuff that you're doing. Maximum strength is not an easy program. It is a decent amount of volume, and you're in the later phases of the program. So you're lifting 4 days a week. You're playing hockey 2 to 3 days a week, and you're playing racquetball once or twice a week. So leaving the opportunity for recovery pretty limited. So you're really not giving your body a break. Maximum strength by itself, you're going to want those 3 off days. Adding in hockey, you know, which is a very intense sport where there's obviously lots of sprinting. You're reinforcing that bent over. You're reinforcing those hip flexors to tighten back up. So a lot of that mobility work is then – you know, unfortunately, you're kind of burning the candles on both ends. And what's another analogy I can probably use is, you're going two steps forward, one step back. So, you know what? It might be worth your hockey season is probably wrapping up. Allow yourself to work in that recovery stretch. And if you are going to be playing hockey on those nights, make sure you're also doing some kind of mobility work and warm up before that. Bring a lacrosse ball, bring a tennis ball, bring a foam roller with you to the rink and warm up before you jump on the ice. It will make a huge difference. So hopefully you can address a lot of that stuff and let us know how it goes, if things improve or if they don't. See what happens. But I guarantee if you do those three things, stretch adductors, work on the glute med, strengthen it up, activate it before your workouts, and knee stretches will help quite a bit. So hopefully that will help you out. Yeah, we'll do one more question, Lee. The one that says, I got a question primarily for Lee, as she is a nutrition guru. I know the whole low carb for fat loss is not necessarily for the most part. However, does carb selection and timing become somewhat more important when trying to achieve particularly lean physique? For example, 4 to 6% body fat. Does anything change in regard to diet when trying to get freakishly lean? What methods would you use? This obviously depends on activity level, etc. Also on the low carb issue, I've read that the increase in insulin secretion in response to carbohydrates blunts fat loss. Something along the lines of, while insulin is present in the blood, that it is impossible to burn fat. Hence the nutrient timing is key. Is there any truth to that? And if so, would it actually make a significant difference? I read that in a T Nation article, so not extremely scientific source. Love to get your thoughts. Uru, that's goodbye in Australian. I guess that means Australian. Because Luke was from Australia, which again, we have an incredible Australian audience. So good day.
I hope that you are surviving the waters down there.
Oh, yeah. You know, definitely thoughts and prayers go out to everyone out there.
Absolutely. Let's see what should I hit first. I guess I know that it's been discussed over and over again, but you asked it, so I'll answer it. The insulin issue. Carbohydrates are not the only thing, and it's been discussed 1,000 times, but they're not the only thing to cause an increase in insulin. Amino acids increase insulin as well. Regardless of that, you have to look at your body as in a very literal sense. And one of the best ways that I know how to explain this to people is to ask them to spit and swallow at the same time. And if you really want to give it a shot, go ahead, and you will find that you can't. And essentially what that means in fat loss terms is that you can't be in a fed state and lose fat at the same time. It doesn't matter what the food is. It's food. It's a system going in. And when something is going in, something cannot come out from it. You can't do two things at the same time like that. And I don't know why people make it so complicated, but it really is that simple. It's that simple. So the people that say this are usually megadosing branched-chain amino acids. They're usually chugging down shake after shake of protein and eating lots of fat. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But the truth of the matter is that it's food. It increases insulin, and there's nothing that you can do to avoid insulin. You need insulin. It's going to need to be increased, and you need to learn to use it to your best advantage and stop listening to people that focus on that being an issue, because unless you are an unhealthy individual, insulin is something that you, even if you are an unhealthy individual, but unless you have a particular problematic disease, you should worry about insulin on a very base level and use it for all the things that your body needs it for on a daily basis. So I'm just going to keep it as simple as that. But for getting incredibly low in body fat, does timing or nutrient timing and carbohydrates have a place? They do, but it's complicated, and it's to each person, and it's not as, wow, Marty,
You did a head shake.
It's
he's waking
it's,
up.
No, I can hear. It's not as simple as eat low carb, because here's the thing. It's called metabolic adaptation, and one of the things to decrease the severity of metabolic adaptation is carbohydrates. That's one of them. Time and time again, we look at research, we see that carbohydrates, even in a caloric deficit state, can help decrease the effects of metabolic adaptation. So if you're trying to get really low in body fat, one of the last things you want to do is overly restrict carbohydrate intake, because chances are it's going to be one of the things that lead to you metabolically adapting a lot faster than not having than having the carbohydrates in the first place. In fact, with some people, I've recommended them look at intakes of a lot higher carbohydrate intake than I ever see any body talk about or recommend. And there's a lot of pro bodybuilders that do amazing things with it, but they also use in large amounts, those that are pro bodybuilders and get to low body fat levels, they're on steroids. And it does make a difference. It is very hard for a natural bodybuilder to achieve a 4% level of body fat ever, period. That is a very extremely tough thing to do. And it involves lots of manipulations, not only in carbohydrates, but in water. If you want to have an incredibly veiny look, if you want to be very veiny, very muscular, and dry, but also plump in your glycogen loads, it takes manipulation. It takes knowing how to cycle water to cycle carbohydrates. And there's some people that can achieve it a little bit easier than others. It also has to depend on kind of your electrolyte balance system, because water comes into play. When you get down to the 4-6% level, water is at times more your enemy than fat is. And anyone that works in bodybuilding competitions or in photo shoots or trying to get the most out of your composition is going to tell you that water becomes almost more of the culprit than carbohydrates. But carbohydrates can come into play in how you control that water. It's a bit of a complicated system. There's no one set rule to it so much as there is experimentation for you. Word of advice would to be, though, one, if you're trying to achieve low levels of body fat, the simple point of the matter is that you're going to have to decrease body fat, and you do so by way of caloric deficit. I've never seen someone achieve proper levels of low body fat and maintain muscle and not become anorexic, excuse me, without doing a cycling program. Meaning that you're going to have to cycle from deficit days to maintenance days on a regular basis, and you're going to have to take breaks from a deficit more frequently. You're going to have to ramp up usually your usage of cardio and do various amounts of both interval and steady state work. It's going to depend from obviously male to female, because a female cannot get to that low level of body fat. It's not going to happen. She'll be hospitalized before she gets there. A male can, but you can't sustain it. So I'm not quite sure when you're asking that question if you even understand what 4-6% is. That is competition level body fat. That is the bare minimum of body fat. You cannot carry that level of body fat on a regular basis. It is why there are phases in bodybuilding. People start usually 12 to 14 weeks out from somewhere in the 7 to 8, 9% range in that kind of an area, and they diet down from that period of time and manipulate their body from that period of time to competition levels, and they spend time on manipulations. Again, usually most of them are involved in anabolic use. So you really need to understand what that body fat level is. If you don't, you can definitely check out my post on body fat percentage.
Plug, plug, plug.
Yeah, or and it's all free, by the way. it is free. But you can check out my post on body fat percentage on my blog, or you can download the report as well. It explains body fat percentage, what the low levels are. It shows you visual diagrams. You may think that you want to do 4-6, but it could actually be 8-10 in a percentage range. So really understand what that is. But when you're getting down to those kind of levels, are there such a thing as stubborn body fat? Yes, there is. And are there things that we can do in a manipulative sense to get there? Yes. It's usually involved in cycling cardio and caloric deficits with caloric surpluses to ensure at least possible metabolic adaptation. It's not overly healthy. Some people cannot get there. Women are especially more prone to having problems with it than men are. due to various hormonal and reproductive issues. But a take-home point, and to not babble too much, is start simple. Try ramping up the activity a little bit more. Try playing with the cardio, and make sure to break frequently. Learn to cycle. Learn to deal with the fact that it's not going to be as linear. Do not get caught up with the scale so much as you are looking at the visuals. You know, work more into a body recomp stage. Don't expect to lose more than when you're at that kind of a phase. You're lucky to get the 0.5 pounds a week drop. Deal with that and understand that you're kind of moving into an area that's not exactly healthy or something your body wants. Your body is made to fight against this. That's why it's hard. Metabolic adaptation happens very quickly. You have to work very hard to fight against it, and you have to play very smart. I'd get a coach, really, if you could. I'd definitely look into getting a coach if you're new to this, or dig into the research really good and understand what you're doing. So get a coach or dig into the research. But if this is your first time out getting into that kind of a zone, you're going to have to know what you're doing or talk to someone that knows what they're doing. But just from a quick advice standpoint, I think that that's where it lands.
Very good. And I think that's a great place to end it, because I think my dog is trying to tell me that he has to pee or something. God. And I felt like this is end of the podcast type of stuff. But don't forget to check out the FitCast on iTunes. You can check us out at thefitcast.com. You can submit your questions to questions@thefitcast.com. I do have hopefully I'm going to be able to get Alan this week. I've been saying that the last couple of weeks, but you know what? A very cool, I'm going to share this with the audience, some inside baseball stuff that Alan literally just emailed me 4 minutes ago. And he said, I just met a new client at the gym and he heard of us from the FitCast. How cool is that?
Aww.
And that is awesome.
That's pretty fun. Well,
and if you are that person, I want to know who you are, because I think that's pretty awesome. And I'll probably send you a t-shirt if I remember to send it. So yeah, we're going to be doing some cool stuff these next couple of weeks. This is a new world that we live in today. This 2011 thing.
It's like a new year happened.
It's a whole new year. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, I'm starting to get this whole thing, like, my dog just dropped a bomb. That smells so bad. and he's like right in his area where he's cleaning himself.
I'm glad this isn't a smell cast.
But anyways, like, I dropped my dog off at doggy daycare, and I was like one of those guys, I just didn't want to leave him. Like, I saw him having fun. I was just like, oh man, I don't want to leave my dog with these people. But he had a lot of fun. He's very tired. So I hope that, take your dogs to doggy daycare. It's you can't just leave them at home.
You're becoming quite the parent.
Dude, he's just chilling. My dog is like the best life ever. He has the best dog food. He has, he has lamb for breakfast and dinner.
Nice.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
That's a pretty sweet deal, indeed.
I mean,
you're doing him right. You're taking care of him.
Just chilling. Yeah, hopefully I'll post some more videos and stuff. That's the other thing. We're going to be doing some more video stuff. And the reason, that's another reason I want to get Roger on board, because I don't like videoing myself. I feel so weird doing it.
Talking to yourself, you don't like videoing.
There was a video that I recorded for Body by Boyle online, like explaining how to use it, like me talking. And I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to post this. I'd rather just type it all out. I'm just going to type it all out because stop yawning, dude. You're ruining the podcast. And I just couldn't, I just don't like talking to the camera. I use my Best Buy voice when I used to work at Best Buy, you know?
Oh, I have a waitress voice.
Oh, isn't it weird?
It comes out sometimes when I do certain things. Yeah, I still have that voice from that I used when I used to be a waitress when I was a kid. And it's a very particular high-pitched voice. It's literally at least 2 octaves higher than my normal voice is. It's like, hi, how are you? Yeah, it's really.
You got to get those tips.
I start to say sweetie and doll a lot because I'm South, you know, and that's how you talk to them here.
Right, right.
The twang gets a lot worse. But anyway. I want to hear your Best Buy voice.
Ask me a question about a television.
I'm looking to invest into a plasma, Kevin. What do you think about this 42-inch over here?
Well, the first thing I would probably ask you is, you know, are you going to be living in... Oh, you want me to do it or not?
No, it was really, really is peppy.
So the first thing I'd have to ask you is, are you going to be putting this TV in a room with a lot of light? Because the problem with the plasmas is they tend to reflect. Like, there's literally a sheet of glass on there. So, you know, it's probably going to be something that's going to be better for the basement or something that is going to have blackout shades.
Wow. Wow. That's the difference. It's subtle, but it's certainly there.
It's like, okay, here's what we can set you up with. We can get you that 3-year service plan. It's going to work out great. So if anything does go wrong with the TV, the guys are going to come right to your house. They'll replace it there for you. You don't have to bring the TV back to Best Buy. That's such a hassle. And you know what? It's going to pay for itself. So, you know, let's just throw it in there. And how about this $800 surge protector? Because if you're going to buy a $2,000 TV, you might as well get a surge protector. It cleans the electricity. God,
all
I used to spew so much
blue
shit.
Polo. You are in a blue polo right now.
I wore that blue polo. And you know what? I was really good at that job. They were not very happy when I left. But you got to be able to do it. You got to be able to work with people. And that's why, you know, we do it as trainers, too. We talk like a little bit more like normal people. But like when I used to like sell packs of sessions or like with like a new client at Boston Sports Club, I'd be like, yeah, you know, we're just going to take you through a quick assessment. We're going to look at your mobility. We're going to take a look at where your strength is. And then we can go through a couple quick exercises and see how you like it.
Beautiful.
I should talk like that more often. Maybe I'd, you know, be running for, you know, governor or something.
Oh, well, that's only if you throw in a wink and a thumbs up.
I like the thumb pushed into the hand like Bill Clinton. I thought that was so like, dude, no one's done that before. That you started that.
He did start that, didn't
he? You know, he pushed the thumb into the pointer finger.
That's true. I can't think of any other mental image but Bill Clinton when I think
2-hour podcast, folks. An hour and a half of it was recorded this week. That's good.
Are we done?
Yeah, are you going to watch Parks and Recreation? It comes back tonight.
I was planning on watching my Ricky Gervais DVD set.
Hackers 2.
Finish it.
Hackers 2.
Yeah, okay. I'll work on that. And I'm going to order Takedown, and I'm going to order the one.
You're going to order Takedown because you can't get it in the States, so it's not really bad.
Yeah.
All right, so...
There's really going to be issues about that movie.
Totally. So again, I want to say thank you to our new sponsors, Quest Bars. Check them out. Obviously, we are still working with xfmuscle.com. That is my go-to source for protein powder. And also ICE, best branched-chain amino acid product out there. Hands down, if you are using that other brand, trust me, the ICE is cheaper and it tastes a lot better and it doesn't foam up like the other stuff. I hate it. Like, that stuff foams up like crazy. And I was talking to my buddy Dave today. I'm like, yo, Dave, you taking that no explode? Look at that foam up, son. And then I somehow changed my voice.
That was 22s right there. It worked, son.
Dude, he is farting. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I hope you guys have a great week and you get to listen to me and Roger later this week with possible guest appearances by someone. We'll see. Oh, my God. I got to take my dog out. We'll see you next week. God, he is dropping ass.
My dog.
He's just, like, chilling. Like, he's, like, sleep farting.
My favorite is when, I don't know if you're about this, but my dog will just sleep, and then randomly he'll just do this slight little tail wag, and then the worst smell fills the room, and he smiles just a little bit. The fucker smiles just a little bit in his sleep.
I can just imagine like the tail, like it just like the tail like poofs up like a sheet.
Yeah, just a little, like just a little, ever so slightly. And that fucker, he clears a room. It is god awful.
I'm so happy I didn't stop recording this.
You said you dick. Are you recording?
Totally. We'll blink up the dick part. See you next week. Ha ha ha. All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion. I pray to God that I have my microphone selected this week so the audio isn't terrible.
You sound good.
I hope so. I always sound good, but I want to sound great, you know? I sound really good.
It's one of those shows already.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we're not recording on Sunday, so it's going to be out of the ordinary. And John's not here, which is actually a plus because having a week off of John is pretty awesome. It's like when your big brother goes away. And you can actually have fun.
I know we're not going to get yelled at. I mean, he's really mean to us.
John's you know,
a dick. The listeners don't know that, but he's mean. He bashes us behind the scenes. You don't know.
I emailed him about something secretive, and just because I wanted his take on it, and it was a pretty big deal. And like I see his like post on Facebook, he's like hitting the slopes, going skiing. And then I like wrote on it, you know, how about you check your email because there's something important in there. And he goes, sorry, you know, not all, like he's like, I actually have like a job and stuff like that. I'm like, shut up, John. You're you're skiing in Switzerland.
Yeah. I mean, have you looked at his Facebook? It's like, oh, hi, Switzerland, mountain, snow.
It's too busy eating chocolate.
I'm not jealous. I'm just saying.
Well, we're going to get hit pretty hard here. Did you get any snow that last week?
The last one we didn't get any, but the one before that we did.
Got hit a little bit?
Yeah, no, we got hit hard, yeah.
Nice.
At least more than normal, because after all, this is the South. Which
the dirty South.
Like remind me of often. But, yeah, let's just keep talking about weather. And John.
Yeah, John can go to hell.
So okay. I'm curious about the Kevin and Roger show.
Oh, that's, this is preemptive to some other stuff, but, we get to talk about something else off the air after this, but, people might not know Roger Lawson.
It's a shame.
Yeah. He's my Street Fighter partner. We went to PAX East together. So if you saw any of those videos, it's from that. And, he's a good dude. He's, in the fitness industry and people have been asking me to bring back What Up Kev, but I hated doing it because I don't like talking to myself. So I need like a guy to talk to. So that's Roger. And, it's going to be fitness. It's going to be based around fitness, but is going to be considered, a more global show because we might go off the path a little bit.
All right. So it's kind of be a little mix of fitness, a little mixed off topic.
Yeah. You know, we might bring up some, you know, like gym music, like good music for the gym. Like it's going to be all the stuff that I wish we could fit into the Fitcast, but we can't. And it will allow me to, you know, just in case if heaven forbid we can't do the podcast, the main Fitcast, we can have something to supplement it midweek. Because I realize that a lot of people, you know, an hour and a half, they get through the podcast and driving to work and then home. And you know, I think it would be cool to bounce things off Roger and just kind of have like a, you know, talk shop kind of things. We'll have, some guests come on from time to time and, I think he has a lot to say and he's been doing good stuff on his blog, but blogs are kind of a pain in the butt to write when you have to get pictures and, you know, edit it, doing a podcast, we can knock it out in 30 minutes and I can get it up. So, that's going to be coming. Hopefully we're going to record it on Saturday. And this kind of bridges off to another thing, but I'm looking into buying a mixer and, 4 microphones for something else that's coming down the line. I think we can more or less confirm that we're going to be doing a live show in the future. So we're going to need that equipment. And when Roger comes over, we can just record the shows in my apartment instead of having to do it over Skype. It's a lot easier to talk face to face than like wait for people to finish talking and stuff like that.
So not only are you, Roger, going to be doing the show, but you might be doing it like live in Kevin's apartment kind of show.
Well, even live in the sense that we're probably going to stream the video of it too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, just for funsies, we're going to see,
yeah,
we're going to see how it goes. And, you know, again, Roger's a guy that I have a lot of respect for. He's a very knowledgeable guy. He has a, you know, a different take on fitness and nutrition. He's a very funny guy. So I think the audience will really like him. And, you know, it's good. You know, our off topics will consist of Street Fighter and, how I kick his ass in Mortal Kombat. So, it will be a good time for everyone.
That sounds like fun. I love him. So,
and there will be no dog in the background today because my dog went to doggy daycare and he is passed the F out. Right now. He is
so
dead.
You're learning the tools of the trade. That's what you do. You get them absolutely exhausted with other forms of entertainment and then they sleep for hours.
Oh, well, he hung out with like 10 other, or was like 15 other dogs today. And they're like, yeah, he didn't even do, like, they have nap time at 2 o'clock during the day. And he's like, yeah, he wouldn't even do nap time. Like, he was still trying to play with dogs. And like, I think he's going to figure it out pretty quickly. Should probably take that nap. But he is literally, he is usually up, like jumping on me whenever I talk, because whenever I talk on the phone or I'm talking and there's no one else here, he doesn't understand what's going on. So he's usually thinking I'm trying to get his attention.
And he gets all excited and starts to jump around.
Yeah, and he's pumped, and he could not give a crap right now. He is in a different room, which never happens. He's not sitting next to me, which never happens, because he is too lazy to get up and go to the dog bed that is currently next to my computer. Wow. But good for him, man. He got to hang out with some dudes today. I don't know if he got any, but if he did, congratulations.
Way to go, Marty.
Dude, get it while you can. I mean, he doesn't have the tools to do anything, so it's not like it's harmful.
Encouraging of Marty's sexual behavior is very good parenting.
It's natural. It's only natural.
Yeah. I hope that Marty gets him some. You know, I hope he is the stud of doggy daycare.
I mean, he's been really good. Like, he definitely does say hello. Like, they'll smell butts and then they'll go at it. So he takes the you know, he definitely takes his time. And we've talked about Fast Five, right? There's a new Fast and the Furious movie coming. Oh God, I love this year. 2011 is going to be the year that we go out on, and it's going to be so good.
Oh wow! So you're throwing an End of the World and Fast and the Furious in the same dialogue.
In the next 6 months, I have 2 Jason Statham movies, a Rock movie,
Wait. There's some Mechanic.
Let me pull it up real quick. And I also watched a really bad Jason Statham movie, 13, a couple weeks ago, which wasn't bad.
Have you seen War? Because you know Hans in War.
I did. I saw the first 20 minutes, and I probably should watch that. And you know what?
This is one of the most ridiculously violent movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Awesome.
I saw the beginning when it's like the stuff happens to his family.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really should watch that movie because Jet Li and him were also in another.
Expendables?
No.
Well, they were in Expendables too.
Oh, shit. You're right. Okay, listen to this, Lee.
I know my action movies. I love some action movies.
But he was also in one of my favorite movies because it dealt with parallel worlds in The One.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen that yet. Okay, I know what you're talking about. I haven't seen that yet.
All right.
Well, I'm going to tell you that War is excellent. It's a little bit of a mind screw. It really is. It's a really good movie.
Well, I will watch it. It is on Netflix.
And Han is in it. He doesn't have a huge role, but I didn't realize it until I watched it the other week.
Eating
and I was
anything?
Like, oh, it's Han. You know, it's so funny. He's not, but he looks like he is.
He's just chewing on something.
It's freaking weird. Like, it looks like the dude is always preparing for a meal. Like, he's just kind of standing there, and you're like, you're getting ready to eat, aren't you?
Hell yeah.
But he doesn't. He doesn't eat. But it looks like that he is. It looks like he should be holding a box of like Chinese takeout. Not the little one with the writing on it, but like a big floppy, like white styrofoam container.
Love it.
You know, that's where it is.
Did you get a Blu-ray player yet?
No, I haven't got a
Blu-ray. Son of a B word.
You know what? I have barely enough time to watch these damn things, let alone quibble over the fact of whether or not they're in Blu-ray. Okay.
Well, I just added The One to my shopping cart, and I have your address saved in my Amazon account, and I was gonna mail it right to you right now. Are you yawning?
No, I was mocking you in a mentally unstable type voice.
The one.
Hold on, I'm going and looking at the one.
Hell, I'm just going to buy it for myself. Huh?
Premise. Synopsis.
There's okay, this is going to be really sad because I watched when this movie was like coming up to release, like it was when the internet was just starting. It came out in 2001. So it was still like not everyone had cable modems. And before the release of the movie, I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh my God, it's awesome. And I started like looking for information. They did like a 3 or 4 part like comic series online. And I read through all the comics before the movie came out. And so I know the whole backstory. And more or less, this guy created a machine that allows you to go to parallel worlds. And the belief is that there are multiple versions of all of us in all these other worlds, and there is a certain amount of energy that is divided across all these people. So if you kill yourself in another one of these parallel worlds, that person's energy gets distributed to everyone else. So what Jet Li did is he started going to all these parallel worlds, and he started killing his version himself, and he eventually became, the one. And so it's really awesome. He ends up fighting himself.
That's the most ridiculous plot line I've ever heard in my entire life. I love it.
No, Lee, he fights himself for like 20 minutes. It's awesome. And the way, and like, it's great because they're wearing the same exact clothing too. So right before the fight starts, like
you
one
don't
of
know
their,
which one's which.
Well, you do because they make it blatant. They have one of their coats catch on fire. So he takes his coat off and throws it to the ground. So now one guy is gray and like one guy is black. It's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds pretty horrible, but of course.
And Jason Statham's in it.
Well, I love Jet Li and I love Jason Statham.
30 seconds!
I have a Jet Li obsession. I mean, Unleashed, Fearless, all of them. Own them. Love them.
Okay.
Huge Jet Li fan.
Okay.
So the combination of the two, I'm always down for, so I'm going to get it. I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna pause this recording for a second. I'm gonna send Lee the trailer for the one. She's gonna watch it and then give you feedback. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. What are your thoughts?
Okay, here's the initial reactions that I had was one, the cast is excellent. You have the chick from Son in Law with Pauly Shore, which love that. You have the guy from Gone in 60 Seconds who has the most badass voice.
Delroy Lindo, man. Great name, too.
I love his voice. He has the most badass voice. It's awesome. Okay, granted, the hair's a problem. The close shave, he needs to abide by that. I guess he just decided after seeing that maybe he was going to do that. And then, Jet Li fighting Jet Li, which gets better than that? Not much. I don't think so. So I'm sold. I will be watching it by the next FitCast. It will be watched.
Done. That's what I love to hear.
Hold me to it. It'll be watched.
It's what I love to hear. All right, then my job here is done. That's the last episode of the FitCast we're doing because that's and fun fact. I think this is actually true. I'm just going to make sure that it is. Oh, maybe not. Oh, bummer. That's okay.
You build me up and then you let me down.
No, it's interesting. The director obviously did Final Destination 1 and 3, and he also did a bunch of X-Files shows, and he was executive producer on Millennium, the spinoff from the, not it wasn't a spinoff of the X-Files, but it ran in conjunction with the X-Files with that old dude from the alien movies, the robot guy.
You know what you're like? You're like the Matt Penfield of sci-fi movies.
I know a lot. I have lots of useless crap. It's really depressing sometimes.
I appreciate that in people. I'm just saying you're like the Matt Penfield of like sci-fi TV shows and movies. It's admirable.
I think it's important information, and especially with the one, it is a great cast, and I think it's underappreciated. It has a 5.6 on IMDb, which you know what? It's because movie snobs like Tony Gentilcore don't think it's a good movie,
whatever.
And they probably haven't seen it.
I mean, do we really need to see someone who has a real family that's depressing and someone's recovering from a mental illness one more time? I don't think so.
I know this is
give me action. Give me Jet Li. I watched Gummer. when I was 15 years old and basically to Sundance Channel for like the entirety of my teenage years. And I saw enough. I saw enough. I really did. I saw enough indie films to last me a lifetime. And I decided, and I don't care how shallow it makes me, that I enjoy action films. I just do. I like action films and I like romantic comedies, and I don't care what anybody says about it. Give me a Jet Li movie. It makes me happy. So what?
Did you see this is the last thing, we'll wrap it up. Have you seen The Forbidden Kingdom? Tell me you've seen that.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, that's next on your list. Okay, because A, it's also got Jackie Chan in it, and I watched that movie and I was a kid again. I watched it like last year and I'm like, wow, I am a kid again. If I could be that kid in that movie, like it was like that thing at the end of the movie where I got up from my couch and I'm like, all right, do I have the time to go find some place to learn Kung Fu? Like, can I look around? Are there any instructors in the area? Is that something that I could still do at this age? Because I wanted to learn Kung Fu after watching that movie.
That's excellent.
It was impactful. I mean, it's like that feeling. It like goes away after like a day or two. But, you know, I watch him like, oh my God, if I could be that kid that like saves the world. Just, you know, he learns Kung Fu or whatever from Jackie Chan and Jet Li. Shit. And he gets the girl. What?
Oh, no, I definitely have to watch the movie.
Man, it's like all those movies, you know, it's like a kid. It's just like a nerd kid who's literally right before, like when the movie starts, he's like, he's playing N64.
So it's like a really advanced version of that movie with Jonathan Brandis and Chuck Norris.
Oh, totally. Sidekicks. Yeah. Sidekicks. Yes.
Like it's like a more advanced and tailored version of that. Yeah, okay. Got it.
Okay, we won't talk about Time Cop, but we're going to have to talk about Time Cop next week. All right, that's it for the off topic.
Okay, fine.